This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, am left hanging by language. Last episode, we heard about adding complications to the writing process. And in this episode, there's a story that really went for it with the complications. Every single word required effort, physical pain, a lifelong commitment, and a responsibility waiver form. On with the show! Thirteen or so years ago, I met a friend at a pub and she had someone with her who had a tattoo on her elbow of the word cuticles. An unusual word to see as a tattoo, unlikely to be the name of a loved one or birthplace or something like that. And also, it wasn't just the word cuticles, it was cuticles followed by a comma.
With the piece of punctuation attached, you can really tell that it must be part of something else.
She was part of something else. The Skin Project, a story 2,095 words long, each word tattooed on a different person.
I got the title. Skin. There it is on my wrist.
The people who got a Skin Project tattoo are known as words, and this particular word is the creator of the Skin Project, Shelley Jackson.
My name's Shelley Jackson. I'm an artist slash writer slash I don't know what.
Shelley started the Skin Project around 2003.
I think the first inklings of it were actually when I was working on my first book, which was a story collection called The Melancholy of Anatomy. And all the stories were fantastic reinventions of different body parts or substances. So one of the substances I was playing with was skin, but that story never really took off, so it wasn't included in the collection. But it was still sitting there as a few tag ends in my computer. And then I was thinking about whether there might be some way to publish it where the form reflected the content in an interesting way, because I like that sort of thing. And kind of just hit me at that moment that we already publish on skin in the form of tattoos, and even in a more literal sense, in the history of book publishing, books were printed originally on the skin of animals and even on some people, in the case of books bound in human skin, so that there was already this great precedent for, or not so great, sort of grim in some cases, but a precedent anyway for publishing on skin. And of course, I quickly moved on from the idea of publishing my entire story on one person, because that wouldn't really have been feasible, to the idea of distributing the story word by word among any number of people who would then wander around the world endlessly remixing the words to form brief new constellations, new stories.
I think you might be quite an unusual writer in actively welcoming the remix of the story, because it's out of your control then.
Yeah. The funny thing is, though, that when I first started this project, I already had that as a kind of aesthetic principle, the idea that the reader is always a creative partner in the work of art or literature. But once I started actually assigning the words to different participants and then hearing back from them about their words and so on, it only then really hit me in a visceral sense that my story was being co-opted entirely by these people. Of course, that was my intention, but I had never really felt it before. Cosmically, my bluff was called.
So how many words were in the story?
2,095 total, but they're not all assigned yet.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is the application still open?
The application is still open. The truth is I have more than enough volunteers, well over 10,000. But at the same time, I'm not just taking people in order. I'm looking for the application that strikes my fancy. So it's still open. To apply, it's fairly straightforward. You just write to me and tell me what your interest is, why you want to be a participant. The complications, the sort of bureaucratic stipulations, come in once you're ready to get your tattoo. And then you have to sign a waiver absolving me of responsibility for anything at all. And agreeing to the various rules about the tattoo.
A successful applicant would be assigned the next available word in the story, plus any adjacent punctuation. If they didn't like the word, they didn't have to get the tattoo, but they weren't allowed to apply for another word. If they did go ahead with it, they had to follow Shelley's aesthetic guidelines.
Well, I stipulated that the words had to be tattooed in something like a classic book font, something fairly sober and traditional and in black. I didn't put any limitations on size, but I did put a limitation on placement in that I decided it would sort of warp the presentation of my project if there happened to be a word naming a body part and the word were stuck on that part. Since part of the feel of the project to me was the sort of incongruity or slippage between the word and what it was placed on. So that it didn't seem necessarily to be naming that person or describing that person, but alluded to some larger mystery that you weren't privy to.
So just two on the nose, if the tattoo was literally on the nose, saying nose.
Right, exactly.
Usually when people have words tattooed on themselves, it's something very meaningful to them personally. Mm-hmm. And in this case, they didn't know what word they were going to get assigned.
Right. But the most interesting thing, actually, about the feedback I get after the fact from some of the participants is that their word was so perfect for them. How did I know that that was the word that would matter most to them? Well, obviously, I didn't know. And I didn't pick it for them either. I give them out in order. So it was a completely random chance. So what I think it illustrates is really how personal our relationship to the word is, to language is, you know, that every, and this would be true of a normal book as well, that every word in that book means something slightly different to you than it means to everybody else. That's a pretty instructive thing for an author to hear, you know what I mean? Because though I handed this story over to my readers on purpose, the truth is I'm handing any story I write over to my readers in that sense. You know, that word means that thing to them and not what it means to me necessarily. So what would happen is that as time went by, whatever word they got would resonate with more and more things in their personal life so that it would start to feel like it was the word they would have chosen, even though it was assigned to them randomly.
They came to live up to it.
Yeah.
When words were repeated like the, did you get one person per instance?
I did, yeah. As in a book, you don't have just one that all the thes are referring back to. You have to have multiple thes. So I had this idea that I kind of loved of getting all the thes together, making them form a sports team and playing against the ofs or something.
The definite versus indefinite articles.
Yeah.
I was wondering whether you managed to get all of the people together at any point to stand in lines so that you could read the text. But then I guess a lot of them would be mooning at you.
They would, some of them indeed. But no, I haven't done that. And I don't think I would do that either, because I mean the text to be scrambled and not legible to anyone but the participants.
Why did you decide to only let the people who had participated read the whole story?
Well, I thought for some reason I wanted to see if I could contrive to write a story that was truly a living story that kind of read itself, in the sense that the words are its only readers, except in the piecemeal way that people like you got to read cuticles and so on. And where the story didn't have that kind of spooky afterlife that published books have, where they outlive their authors and they outlive the time they were written for. Not that there's anything wrong with that, in my opinion. But in this case, I just thought, I want a story that actually lives and actually dies and then disappears. If you had the story mass reproduced, obviously it would go on. Not that it would go on forever necessarily, but it would linger in a way that I didn't mean it to for this particular project.
Skin Project isn't Shelley's only story written on unconventional pages.
So the Snow Project is a story made up of words that I write in snow very painstakingly and then photograph one at a time. So it's a weather-dependent story that gets rolled out really, really slowly over time because each word takes a long time to do. And also, it's not snowing all the time, obviously. There's always the potential that climate change will put an end to the story before before I do. But I seem to manage to print out about a paragraph a winter, a small paragraph a winter. I think it's a project that's related to skin in a bunch of ways. I mean, for one thing, it's ephemeral. Skin doesn't seem that ephemeral, but of course it's a mortal story. It's ephemeral in that sense. The snow is even more visibly so because sometimes as soon as I finish writing it, someone will come and stomp on it. Or kids, you know, can I mess it up? I'll say, only after I've photographed it. You know, or the snow will be, it'll be snowing hard and the snow will fill up the letters and erase them within, you know, within minutes.
Shelley, why have you got to make writing so inconvenient for yourself?
One reason is that I've always had this very visceral, almost bodily response to language, feeling for language. And tattooing is obviously a very visceral way of taking the imprint of language upon yourself. I don't know, one thing I like to think about is the mixture of pain and gratification that is involved in getting a tattoo or getting any tattoo, really, because it feels to me like a pretty good analog for what happens in the best cases when you're moved by a book and changed by a book. You know, that we kind of want to be changed in some way by what we read. You know, not to say that we don't like what we are already, but there's this yearning to be imprinted in some way, to be altered. And here it takes this sort of bloody, oozing form that's, I mean, some people might say it's kind of dopily literal of me to make it be that when it's already happening on a metaphorical level, which is true in a way. But I just love the bodily testimony to that desire to be marked by a meaningful experience.
And the participants had all sorts of reasons for volunteering for the Skin Project.
Some people have told me that they want to be part of something that matters, something that lasts. Well, of course, it's designed not to last, but I guess you could say that the story of it might last. A lot of them have said they want to be part of something larger than themselves. So this sense of a story that meaningfully binds them all to each other is important to them. Even if they don't know what the story is, they like that idea of being bound together by a story and feeling like they are a necessary part of that, that they're indispensable to the story. Some have written me really sad things about feeling like they haven't done much in their lives and this would be a way they could contribute something. Others have said things more about affirming their love of literature and reading, like really putting themselves on the line for this art form that they love. I've had people who are dyslexic talk about conquering their fear of language, and this is a kind of testimony to that. So there are a lot of different reasons. It's very personal.
Did you feel some responsibility for people having your words permanently put on them?
I did. It was a strange feeling. Especially because the participants, I'm sure not all of them, but many of them seem to talk about me with an odd sort of proprietary reverence almost, or like as if I were a kind of mother hen to them. And it worried me that I might not be able to kind of live up to what they expected from me. I hadn't initially anticipated that it would be so much about relationships among people, because I was sitting alone in my writing office thinking about stories and stories distributed over the world and so on. I wasn't really thinking about people wanting to be part of a community and feeling connected to each other through a project and connected to me through that project. And I just underestimated the human aspect of the of my own project. So my participants really taught me something about what I was doing that I hadn't anticipated.
Have you met many of your words in person?
A fair number, yeah. They'll come to readings and show me their tattoos. That's always really great to have someone come up to you and like whip up their shirt. And it is kind of, it gives me kind of a family feeling. I said earlier that it was weird to be treated like a mother hen, but I actually do feel sort of maternal toward them as the one who sort of bound them together and so on.
Yeah, well, you've created part of their life story.
Yeah, and vice versa, of course. So yeah, it's a bond. It's a strange bond, but it's real.
Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is plantigrade, adjective, of a mammal, walking on the soles of the feet like a human or bear. Try using it in an email today. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman, with Martin Austwick, who provides the music for The Illusionist. Thanks also to Julie Shapiro and to Matty, aka Cuticles Comma. Shelley Jackson is an artist and writer. She has a new novel called Riddance, and it's printed on paper or electronic equivalent. Also, find out more about The Skin Project and Shelley's other works at ineradicablestain.com, and follow Snow Shelley Jackson on Instagram to read her snow story as it progresses with the seasons. If you have a tattoo of a word, especially if you're one of The Skin Project words, send me a picture to Illusionist Show on Twitter and Facebook. Hear every episode, read more about each topic, see the full dictionary entries for the randomly selected words of the day at the show's forever home, theillusionist.org.